following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Let's meet our hosts. First up, sports director Doug Duda.
I screwed up.
It's not regular price. Come on, Doug.
I don't know what day it is. What do you want from me?
You know how to football team? Never heard of them.
Alabama Roll Tide Roll. Gonna take on LSU. Then Bayou Bengals down there. There to go. That's G-A-U-X. There to go, Tiger.
The pedicure. So what does that mean there? Is that ear hair or what is that?
Now let's meet Big Daddy Tony Davis.
Actually, for people out there that didn't have the same education I do, that'd be the capital of Illinois, too. We got trouble here, folks. A trumpeter swan's neck is 3 freaking feet long. I'm beyond embarrassing. Did the dog eat your homework? Just say, we just whacked these two things because they look cool.
And I'm producer-engineer Jeff Babel. What are the guys going to chat about today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. You know, Jimmy, someday I got to get my taxes done.
Oh, you haven't got
your... Got to work on that.
You haven't got yours done yet?
I got to work on that.
You got a big, a lot of times you get some money coming back.
Yeah, so I'd wait till the last minute then. No, we're glad to have you along with us on today's program. Quite a bit to cover, quite a bit to get to. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Jim Holton later on in the program. He'll join us in studio, head coach of the Tri-City Storm. Playoffs begin tomorrow, and they'll be busy. They're jamming these playoffs into 1 week or what possibly could be 8 nights. Again, I thought everything had kind of been fixed, settled down, but at no time during the regular season do you play 5 hockey games in 8 nights, and that's just the first round. If it goes 5, then you've got second round in the finals, but the bottom line is the Storm are there. They will be at Omaha tomorrow, then they'll host games on Thursday and Saturday, and then Sunday and Tuesday would be 4 and 5 if necessary. Tickets are on sale now at stormhockey.com or the Viero Events Center box office. And we'll also be catching up with Eric Olson of the Nebraska Associated Press. We'll be talking with him about Nebraska spring football and getting his point. Eric will be joining us in our next segment here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So spring football in the books. You know, I was there. There were 77,000 people, and it was a game. They actually played like a football game, something we hadn't seen under Bo Pelini or Bill Callahan. It had been a while since they just lined up and played football. There was no green jersey on the quarterback so that they couldn't hit him. And thankfully, they got through it without any injuries. But it looked like a pretty good football game. But it was very basic, Jimmy. It was very basic. There's nothing to get excited about. Don't get excited about the quarterbacks. Don't get excited about the running backs. I didn't see anything in this game that made me change my mind early on about what I thought this year's squad would be. It's going to have to rely on defense. They're not going to be near as good on offense. And part of that will be learning the new system. And still, a lot of that will have to do with their work here in the offseason and how they look this fall and be ready to go for practice in the fall. There's a lot of book learning still.
Yeah, you know, I didn't watch the game at all, you know, and it's not like I like Nebraska football. I just haven't been as extremely interested in the spring game as I am about 3 or 4 other sporting events that are going on at that time. So I just didn't watch it, Doug. So I won't be able to help you much with it. I did ask my son what he thought about it, and he said he kind of told me about some individual plays and how some Kearney kids did and that they got to get in the game and who talked about. He was kind of more interested in that. He did say, you know, because we were talking all week that our quarterbacks didn't throw the ball very well maybe 2 or 3 weeks before. But he said they had a couple passes that were pretty good, but he said they had a couple that they'd missed on. So it wasn't like anybody did something spectacular or anybody did anything that really hurt themselves either. So,
yeah, that was probably actually the coolest part of the whole game is there were more young men that made their first appearances on the field, guys that aren't going to play this fall unless there's injuries or things like that. They're redshirt freshmen like a Blake Holtmeyer, like a Thomas Conley. You got to see Luke McNitt on the field for the first time. played a little offense, played a little bit on special teams. You got to see Garrett Johns from Aurora get a deflected pass for a touchdown. I mean, Baritska from Cozad did well. You know, Poppins in there from Giltner. I mean, you just saw a lot of those names. Of course, Zach Stirrup's not playing. I saw him after the football game just kind of walking through the hall and out to his car or wherever they were headed. And that's a big man. That kid has matured. Now, of course, he didn't play all spring because of injury, and really there is no definitive answer to whether he'll be available in the fall or what his future is. But just in my mind, where he was 2 years ago talking to him at spring game, where he was last year, where he was in the fall, and just the way he looks now, he looks like a college football player. He has matured. I'm just not talking about the mullet and the, you know, the young guy face and all that, but he's cleaned up. He looked like a big old coach. That's what he did, because he was kind of dressed that way in the Husker polo and shorts, and like he could have been a coach on the sideline. But those are just a few of the local guys. And, of course, Jack Gangwish, who we'll hear from a little bit later on here in the show, just loving every minute of being on the football field.
Right. You know, Doug, football's a game, too, where, you know, there's a physicalness of it. You know, and I guess what I'm saying is that at a young age, you know, you can be a golfer, let's say, for instance, and you know you may not have matured completely, but you still, no one's defending you, no one's playing defense on you, so you can kind of be at a young age, and you're going to get better when you get older, probably. But football, you like you say, when you're playing the offensive line, it does help to get that maturity in there and be a 20-year-old instead of an 18-year-old.
Yeah. Well, let's hear some of the post-game comments and reaction from head coach Mike Riley. First, about the quarterbacks, six different quarterbacks took snaps from A.J. Bush and Tommy Armstrong, who started the football game, to Zach Darlington, Riker Fife, Tyson Brockmeyer, and Johnny Stanton all in the game.
We had a hard job in some ways of trying to get that many quarterbacks ready enough to get a chance to play in a spring game and then perform. So, you know, it's just sometimes a very small difference in who actually gets to play first. So I wouldn't put too much into any of that right now until we come out with a more definitive depth chart for you.
Your numbers were like this. A.J. Bush, 12 of 22, two picks, 124 yards, no touchdowns. Armstrong, 6 of 12, 77 yards and a touchdown. Zach Darlington, 7 of 11, 70 yards and a touchdown. Johnny Stanton, 3 of 11, one pick, 19 yards. Riker Fife, after going 0 for 4, got his last two completions, 57 yards and a touchdown. Tyson Brockmeyer actually looked as good as any of the backups, 4 of 6, 65 yards and a touchdown. But Coach Riley specifically commenting on Tommy Armstrong, the two-year returning starter.
The hard part for a guy that's been playing for a couple of years is having all of a sudden a whole new system put in. Language, everything. Thought he did a really good job of learning it. And then there's some new, probably, football that he's dealing with. The thing that never wavered about Tommy, and that is a separator for him as I see it right now, is his confidence. He's a confident guy. He plays like it. If something doesn't go exactly right, he doesn't blink. He goes right back out there and plays. So I like that about him.
Besides the quarterbacks, there were nine different players that touched the ball in the run game, including DeMornay Pearsonell, who they got it to him a couple of times on the jet sweep. I've said all along that this running back deal is what really concerns me, and most of our analysts still believe, including Steve Sipple, that's his article this morning on Husker Extra, that it'll be I-back by committee. Terrell Newby was the one that got a few of the questions after the game.
I've been noticing that since about halfway through spring, and I think that his ability and his playing were pretty evident today. And then the other thing is, I think we also saw other backs that are, we got pretty good depth at that position. That's what I'll say.
Well, you know what that means. You don't have a stud. You got good. When you hear the coach say we got good depth, it's just like what they're talking about. We talked about this last week on the offensive line. They got depth there, but does that mean you've got five really good players? Does that mean you got a few good players, or are they 10 average players? And I'm telling you right now, Michael Wilbon looked good at the running back position, but outside of that,
Well, I'm going to say this right now, and I do not want to come off. I will be amazed if this football team wins 8 or 9 games. Absolutely amazed that they have that. You know, they lost one of the best running backs in college football and what he did for the University of Nebraska. And people had to key on this running back, which will make other guys get a little more open. You know, I mean, you know, your quarterback has a little more time to throw the ball, you know, because these guys are playing maybe a foot, 2 feet closer to the line of scrimmage because they got to stop a guy. And he was almost a Heisman Trophy candidate. I mean, there's a couple other players that pulled away from
him. Well, he didn't get hurt.
That's exactly right. Or he needed to have one of those great games, the 400-yard rushing game. You know, and then, you know, he didn't get that. But the bottom line is he is going to be really hard to replace. And I just don't know who's going to step up. And I think you said that, Doug. This is a great comment. Somebody's going to have to step up and try to do that. And they might have a game or two, but you could count on this guy. You could count on this guy in a really tough football game to get something done. And when he was hurt against Wisconsin and some people, our offense didn't do quite as well. But, boy, he still was a gamer and still get 98 yards rushing on 15 carries. I mean, what a player. So, I mean, if we can replace him, then I'm going to say I was wrong. I have nothing against the other 150 guys on the football team or the 100 guys on the football team. I'm just saying this guy is going to be really hard for this football team to replace.
And in no point here, as usual with the spring game, overreaction, just giving observations of what this football team looked like the other day. So nothing changed from that aspect. But again, like Coach Riley said, most of what they did was really vanilla, running basic things on both offense and defense.
As you saw, we were pretty vanilla today on purpose on defense. But that's, I think, also really, really good for you, because what it all boils down to in the end is a guy's ability to get off of a block and make a play. So I think that the more you actually practice like that, the better it is for you defensively, because the other parts can come, and they're all your curveballs that you have to play with. But so I think we've learned a lot about what guys can do, defeating a block and making a play, or seeing something and making a play, and that will be good information going into fall camp.
This comes from H Man at Riverdale. Nebraska will be 7-6 at best. H Man, the maybe biggest Bill Callahan hater that there was out there, and he was on that early. More from Coach Riley, and then we've got Eric Olson coming up after the break. He talked about it just being a basic game and the regular game, and he said the kids seemed to like to just get out there and actually play without a lot of restrictions.
I love that. The first thing that went was behind it is that we had enough players to do it correctly, and I think the players like that a lot better. They like, I mean, I don't know how many of them said to me it's just fun to play a regular game. It was really neat to have all those live special team situations that we can now look at and use as teaching film for the fall, and let some guys that have not played. I asked A.J. Bush the other day, when's the last time you got tackled? And it was, I think they had one scrimmage a year ago. So he's maybe been tackled a couple of times since he left high school in Georgia. So I think we all kind of cringe, and I do more as I get older, cringe about, you know, just getting the team to the season healthy. But I sure like it the way we were able to do it here this spring, where we limited a lot of live work through spring practice so we could teach, learn to play fast. And I think we had 4 different days where we said, okay, these next 12 plays are live. And you guys remember that? We do that about 4 times. And then so this was like having all that time to get ready to play and then playing a game, which I think is I like that. It sounds good to me, and it looked good, and they got to play a lot of football, and I think we got out of it all pretty good.
Sam Foltz, maybe the star of the day, he was just booming. punts. Special teams will be key for Nebraska this year as they continue to play closer games as than they have in previous years. So Fultzy looked really good punting at 70 and 59. And, I mean, he's not getting 40-mile-an-hour wind behind him either.
Oh, I thought you were going to play something there. No. Hey, no, when I was looking at the schedule, Doug, and I mean, I'm how important the kicking game is going to be in some of these ball games. I mean, you know, when you get into close games and you're having trouble moving the ball on offense, how important the kicking game is. You know, the kicking game was not really important when Nebraska was dominating in the 80s and 90s and they were beating people very bad. Because whether you got a good punt or not, it really didn't matter. You know what I mean? I mean, it was nice to have it. Yeah. You know, but in close games, it's so critical because the kicking game, you can, you know, I mean, because if you can't move the ball, they're all yards. Penalties are critical when you get into this situation. You know, you have 90 yards in penalties, and that's the one thing I think that I'm going to give this guy. I'm going to say that he's going to do a better job than Bo Pelini staff did, and that is I think we'll have less penalties. That's the one thing I can kind of, just by listening to him talk and the way he articulates himself and the type of person he is, I think he's going to not try to get as many penalties. Nebraska kind of played on the edge with Pelini and his staff, which is fine, but when you're playing on the edge, you can't expect, then it's kind of like playing man-to-man defense all over the floor and then be mad at the referees because you got more fouls than the other team, you know. So you're going to have more penalties when you play on the edge, but I think this team won't be penalized as much, and they may not turn the ball over as much. They may not take those chances. The quarterback may not have as much leeway, you know, because, you know, you said this, because I defended our quarterback in the USC game, but you did tell me this, Doug, and it's probably true, is he only had one interception, but you said, boy, but he could have had three or four others because we hit USC defensive back and linebackers right in the hands and they dropped them. So, you know, you don't want that. You know, you don't want that opportunity. So we'll see what this team looks like. Later on, I'll talk a little bit about the schedule, because last year, you know, the Minnesota game we lost in Lincoln, well, it's going to be tough to beat Minnesota on the road. That's going to be a tough game to play. And that's the only game I see. You know, we got Miami and Florida on the road. That's going to be a tough game to win on the road. And then Iowa coming into town is going to be a tough game. I'm already saying Michigan State and Wisconsin are going to be really tough to compete in. But we got to steal one of those five games. We got to steal one of those five and then run the table. So, you know, that's what's going to be tough about the schedule. And we haven't even talked about BYU. Well, we're taking that as a win, and that's not an obvious one.
It's amazing, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
We got to steal one of those.
Exactly. Steal one.
You're saying that's four losses right there.
Well, it is if when I made the statement that I would be surprised if this team did won more than eight games. If they won more than eight games, if they won nine games, I would be amazed.
We will take a break. Eric Olson from the Nebraska Associated Press joins us for more on the Doug and Daddy Show in the spring game after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C. NMC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, sunny skies with a high near 69. Tonight, we'll have clear skies. We'll drop down to right around 40. For Tuesday, it'll be mostly sunny and breezy. A little bit warmer with a high near 70 degrees. Currently, it's 54.
Doug and Danny's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram continues to grow their business. The largest dealership in the area is ready to take care of you with over a 95-year heritage, two locations, including their eight new car franchises and a used car superstore coming soon. Midway is always looking for more talented team members. As they grow, that means they want you to grow along with them. Go to MidwayCareers.com and check out all the opportunities that are there for you. 5-day work weeks, full benefit packages, and you can be a part of the growth at Midway and recognize your full potential. The automotive industry rapidly expanding. Midway is hiring now. With hard work and integrity, you'll succeed with the Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Go to MidwayCareers.com to find out more about their current openings. Well, the Nebraska football spring game behind us. Eric Olson joining us here from the Associated Press. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, and Eric Hay, thanks for the time. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it, outside?
Yeah, I just, you know, setting back, getting ready for, you know, like a Big Ten teleconference later this week.
That's right. We're going to talk spring football in a couple days, I think, aren't they? Yeah. We're going to find out what's going on around the league.
Yeah, we've been so captivated by what's going on at Nebraska. There's obviously plenty of storylines. When you have a new coach, that's where it all starts. Eric, what did you think of what you saw on the field, practice and Saturday, from this new coaching staff?
Well, I think that the first thing that kind of struck me was that I do believe that Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf came in to the spring thinking that maybe they were going to be able to put a little bit more of their offensive system onto the field with the guys that are coming back. And I think that they quickly realized that they need to probably play to the strengths of the guys that they have in the program right now. And I think that's the reason why we saw probably 90 to 95% of all the snaps the other day were taken out of the shotgun. And, you know, when you have a pro-style offense, it's usually, you know, a lot more is done under center. So I think that that's probably a smart thing, because I think we all saw, you know, back during the Bill Callahan era, that when you try to force a system onto guys that are in the program, that sometimes the results aren't so good. And I think that Riley's smart enough to realize that he needs to probably be a little flexible in what he tries to get accomplished right out of the gate here from that. And I guess defensively, the thing I got out of it was that I sure did notice an awful lot of the defensive players speaking highly of the freedom that they have in this defense, just to kind of go and instinctively kind of seek out the ball and make the play, as opposed to maybe sitting back and playing off of keys and reading and reacting and that sort of thing, which was kind of the hallmark of the Pelini defense.
Poor Joe Daly. Poor Joe Daly. He just got thrown into the fire. He looked like he was a marshmallow on a stick sometimes. Eric, for the fan that isn't on the message board or the chat board or fully engulfed in Husker reading and listening to the radio shows and that every day, can you tell the fans what is supposed to be different between the Mike Riley, Danny Langsdorf offense and the Bo Pelini, Tim Beck offense?
Well, I think that, you know, the spread, zone read option type of plays, I think they're going to keep that in the system, some zone reads for the quarterbacks, because those guys are capable of doing it. But, you know, generally you're going to probably see more screen passes, short passes. I know that Tim Beck did like to throw the ball deep at times, and I know that that's definitely something that's going to be in Mike Riley's arsenal. He likes to try to go deep every so often as well, and I think he has the guys that he thinks he can do that with. But, you know, you're probably talking a little bit more of the traditional type of offense where, you know, when this system gets into place, maybe where there's less quarterback run and more pocket work as opposed to in Tim Beck's system, you know, the quarterbacks, you know, moved around quite a bit. I think that you're going to maybe see a little more fullback in the Riley system when it gets up and running, and maybe more power running plays. Maybe, you know, more of what you see, you know, on Sunday afternoons in the NFL. And that's when it gets going. I think that we're going to have a hybrid, though, for a little while because, again, you know, you have guys here that have been in one system and you don't just want to totally change things because you don't want them to do things they're not capable of doing.
Yeah, hey, Jim Langan here. With Amir Abdullah gone, we were talking a little bit about how this offense is going to have to generate other players in key situations to get yardage for him. I mean, if you're getting 350 yards total offense and he's getting 120 or 130, you know, it makes it a little easier for the other guys because the defense is going to have to watch Amir Abdullah first. Now, it seems to me that if I'm playing defense on the University of Nebraska, I'm going to take the short pass away. And I'm going to not key on any running back, which is really going to open up what we can do defensively by putting pressure on other things. Nebraska's going to have to throw mid-range passes. Do you believe that or not?
Oh, no question. And I think that that's all part of what Mike Riley wants to do with this offense. And, you know, I think that sometimes Nebraska has struggled with that pass, and I think that, you know, I think Tommy Armstrong is going to be the quarterback in the fall, and that's only solely on what Riley says about, you know, how much experience Tommy has. And experience is a really big thing to Riley, especially at quarterback. And he's kind of known as a guy that's you know, been able to develop quarterbacks during his career. And that's a big thing. He made a comment last Wednesday about how, you know, it's just clear that the guys on the offense really respect Tommy, and that's something that you just can't walk in and get. So I think that Armstrong is going to need to probably get his completion percentage up from where it's been. You know, he can't be a 52% passer. He needs to be closer to 60, and I think that those intermediate passes that you're talking about, you need to be able to hit those in this offense. And that's nothing that's going to really be a huge difference from the previous regime. I mean, you've always, no matter what offense you're playing, you need to be able to make those passes and catches. But, you know, I think that behind Armstrong, you know, you got some guys that are capable of making those passes as well. I don't think A.J. Bush really showed what he can do on Saturday. I think that nerves got to him a little bit. He really hasn't been in that environment before. And Zach Darlington is kind of the guy coming out that showed that he's maybe a fast riser on the depth chart. I think those two guys are probably in line to battle it out for the top backup job. But they look like they can definitely make those kinds of passes you're talking about.
Eric Olson, Associated Press, covering the Huskers. Will we hear of a quarterback transfer before graduation day? It may.
Well, you know, I got a feeling that Johnny Stanton may not be long for this program. He came in, as you know, heralded as the quarterback of the future at Nebraska. And, you know, I saw all I needed to see on Saturday when he was the last guy in and he didn't even make an appearance until I think there was about, on that 20-minute clock, I think it was 16 minutes left in the fourth quarter when he came in for the first time and he got a couple series. He was intercepted once and wasn't very good. Sorry to say, but I think Johnny may be the guy that's the odd man out. It's pretty hard to have five scholarship quarterbacks in there.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Everybody seems to feel that this is going to be a running back by committee from the end of last season, as we touched on that here already a little bit. I think that is the biggest concern. Is there any of these guys that really stand out to you?
Well, you know, the thing is that they, and I've heard people say that too. I don't think that is going to be the case because I know that Langsdorf has talked about wanting to identify one guy as kind of the one that's going to carry the load. And I think that's been out there, in the media, that it may end up being a running back by committee. But I would hold off on that because I think that they're going to go through fall camp and the early games and see if they can't identify maybe the one guy it's going to be. And, of course, the guy that got the big reviews in the spring was Terrell Newbie. And, I want to see more of him just from the standpoint of when he got his chances previously in games, I sometimes thought he was a bit tentative. I didn't think he was real powerful. He's not bad when you run to the outside, but I've heard that he's a little bit better between the tackles maybe than he was, but he's the guy that kind of got the big reviews in the spring, and Amani Cross kind of fell off the face of the earth. You don't really hear much more about him. He's a guy that once he gets going, but he has a little trouble getting started sometimes when you coming out of the backfield. But I know they like Wilbon, he showed up and did some pretty good things, and Adam Taylor the same. I think though that it's not necessarily going to be the running back by committee that a lot of people are talking about. I think that in this system they're going to want to lock down on one guy.
There were a few of the guys that you kind of have plugged in as starters in the fall that didn't practice. If it was the whole spring, it was a majority of the spring. Of all these injuries, are there still major concerns for any of these guys as we head towards fall camp?
Well, not that I know of. I know that, Gary, would he tweak a knee or something? And he should be back ready to work out in June, and I think he's probably going to be okay. He's really important to that secondary. He's really a good player. The offensive line, I think, is an area that people are really watching. I don't think that the line coming out of spring is going to be the same line that maybe you see in the fall. I think that, Zach Stirrup, of course, is probably going to come back and play one of those tackle spots. And, Ryan Reeves is going to be right in the mix at center. And I know that Mike Riley is a bit concerned about developing depth at center. But, that's an area that's going to be very important and has a couple guys that were missing here. They weren't able to, I know Ryan Reeves was doing individual work but wasn't doing much teamwork this spring. And so that's going to be a little bit of an area to watch. And on the other side, on the defensive side, and I know you're asking me about injuries, but I think they need to probably build some more depth on the defensive line, although that starting bunch that they have there, with McMullen at one of the ends, and then Malik Collins and Vincent Valentine, and then Gangwish or Freedom, and I can't pronounce the guy's last name. that's going to be a pretty good front line that they have defensively, but I think they're going to need to build some there.
Yeah, you talked about Johnny Stanton and that he might leave, and that'll probably be a situation where they'll sit down and visit or won't visit, and Johnny can just read it. But, when there's a new coaching staff, sometimes you have people that do bail out on you and et cetera. I thought that a lot of the players stayed. I thought more players stayed than I thought. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, especially after the way that thing ended with Pelini, and the players were very upset. And I, to be perfectly honest with you, I think that Pelini kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, tainted the pool or whatever. I poisoned the pool or whatever, because I get stressed of the way he made his exit with that players meeting, which of course we all know about because it was recorded. I think that the people finally, the players, they got a chance to meet Riley and then, of course, the staff, and these guys did stay by and large. It was very important that they did have as many guys stick around and didn't just have a bunch of guys bailing on the program, because that would have really thrown things into a bad situation, because, you need as much experience. Even though you're bringing in some new ideas, you need the guys that got experience to be around. Now, the thing with Stanton that's kind of interesting to me is that he was recruited by Oregon State and was actually looking pretty hard at going to Oregon State before Nebraska came in and picked him up a couple years ago. So I find it interesting that he's kind of the odd man out here, because, the guy that recruited him at Oregon State is now the coach here. I kind of thought at one time he was going to have an edge in all that, but when you put it out there on the field, and if you're not producing, it doesn't matter what. You might find yourself sitting fourth or fifth on the depth chart. So I think that's the situation with Johnny. And but, you know, as far as retaining guys and just not having a whole exodus of people, that kind of goes to show you that Riley was able to come in and kind of garner a lot of respect right out of the gate.
Well, I said a year ago, that was kind of one of our, you know, when we were doing some predictions and things, I said Johnny Stanton would never take a snap that meant anything at Nebraska, and unfortunately for him, it looks like that may be the case. Maybe he can find a place where he will be able to play. Last minute here with Eric Olson of the Associated Press.
Let me ask you, Doug, why did you think that a year ago? I mean, he was coming off a scout team a year ago.
I thought that, Eric, because he was at least third on the depth chart. Bush was coming in. I thought Darlington, if healthy, was the better of the quarterbacks. Then the coaching change happened, which for a minute there, a lot of people pointed to that. Well, wow, they wanted him at Oregon State. I just never saw it in Stanton. I thought he was always one man down, kind of like he is right now. He's one man out of being in a significant rotation. And why at the quarterback position would you ever stick around if that was the case?
Well, and we haven't even talked about Riker Fife.
Well,
you know, and
our
and,
Grand
you know,
Island.
He was the top backup a year ago.
Our Grand Island boy. I tried to not bring that up today. I tried to keep it happy for everybody in our Tri-Cities area, Eric. Because, you know, that was the cool thing, and that kind of leads me to my next question. The cool thing was is we've got a lot of young kids, redshirt freshmen, Holtmeyer, Conley, you know, Luke McNitz there from Kearney, and then you've got the kids from Aurora. Garrett Johns gets an interception. You got a lot of kids that aren't going to play this year that got to do some significant things or at least make some contact in a real live scrimmage of over 75,000 people. But Jack Gangwish is a story that continues to just elevate. And as I asked him, I said, I mean, he played with more fire and showed more emotion, albeit a spring game, which if he doesn't live up to being able to handle what he needs to do as a starter, that's going to come back to bite him. But just your thoughts on what you see from Jack Gangwish, who I think epitomizes all of those old walk-on Nebraska kids.
The pride of Wood River, right?
You bet, baby.
Yeah. He had a sack the other day, and I think that maybe the thing that gets his motor churning a bit is just that he sometimes is the overlooked guy. I mean, he's the guy that came in and filled in for Randy Gregory last year, and it was kind of a deal where people were saying, okay, well, he's the fill-in guy, and he's the next guy up going to be, that sort of thing, when it really gets serious, when it's time to talk turkey, who's it going to be? And I think that anytime that there's an in-state kid that is in that position, you can't overlook that kid because they want it pretty badly. And like you said, it does go back to the old, you know, in-state kid and kind of the intangibles that they bring as far as playing for the state and the, you know, the fire that they had because they grew up in the shadow of Nebraska football. And I got to believe that that's one of the things that's driving him is that he wants to probably put to rest anyone that may be doubting his ability to lock down that spot. And, you know, once we get into the fall, it's going to be very interesting to watch that because, you know, I wish him all the luck in the world. I hope he locks down that spot and has it all year because I think it's a neat story. And, you know, but I do think that that's the thing that really drives a lot of these in-state kids, just the fact that, you know, you bring in all that talent from around the country. Hey, we can play a little bit here, too, and I'm going to show you. And that's something that can never, ever be discounted for the kids in Nebraska.
And, Eric, without opening a whole new can of worms, because this is a little off topic, but you did bring up Randy Gregory, how should Nebraska look at the marijuana situation? I mean, let's face it. I'm not going to sit here and lie. We're all media guys at different levels. We're not going to report on things that aren't actual fact bases. We hear things, but they're not things that you can factually report on. Should Nebraska be a little bit more concerned that Randy Gregory's not the only kid out of 150 that snuck off into? I mean, I can't believe that he snuck off into a corner all by himself. I mean, it kind of, you don't hear anything about it now that he's gone. Should we be concerned? Should somebody be looking into this? Is this a big deal?
Well, I don't think that if you're talking about what, marijuana use in the program?
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's the same everywhere. I really do. I mean, and I am not a guy that, to be honest with you, I've never used marijuana. I'm probably a nerd, but, you know, I mean, I just know that it's very prevalent now and that it's not uncommon. And I don't think Nebraska has any worse of a problem than anybody else does with it. I don't, as far as Gregory goes, I mean, sure, there's probably other guys, you know, out there smoking it. He seemed to have a little bit of a problem, though, because he knew that there were tests that were going to be coming up, and he was doing it anyway and then got busted for it when he got to the combine. But, you know, I don't think that there's any great great problem with it at Nebraska versus any place else. I don't think that it's overridden with a bunch of potheads.
Well, it's...
and, I mean, you can't public... And as far as, you know, the media reporting on it, like you said, Doug, you can't just go running off with rumor. I mean, and they don't publicize drug tests, you know, at the university level. They're not gonna tell you why a guy is suspended or, you know, sitting out. I did kind of find it interesting when you look at Nebraska's drug testing policy. And tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think that now you're getting an extra chance, I think, at Nebraska versus you're off the team maybe one strike earlier. So I think it was acknowledgement that, you know, this stuff's out there, and a lot of people view it differently. You know, if you're in Colorado, it's not a problem, right?
It'll be interesting to see how all that that plays out. Yeah, I just interesting.
I think the question's fair because you know, Lawrence Phillips had some issues. It wasn't that issue, but Lawrence Phillips had some issues, and he was one of our best college football players on that team that wins a national championship. And he can't play, and he's suspended from the team. And then you have Randy Gregory, who we really – I mean, we knew what Lawrence Phillips did when he did it, and he's off the team, and we don't know when he's coming back, but we know it's a dilemma. But with Randy Gregory, we were kind of counting on him in Week 9. We're counting on him in Week 10. And if you've got a marijuana problem, and he had one, and it's that bad, it is, and you're willing to take marijuana the week before camp, marijuana is an addiction that you're addicted to that. And because you're addicted to it, you're maybe not going to gain some weight. You're maybe not going to do some things that's going to make you a better football player. And that's why I was talking about Amir Abdullah and how great he was and how hard he is to replace, because he is what you want when you want your when you put somebody on the front program. Amir Abdullah is going to be on it because that's the guy you want representing your university. So I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, you never know when a guy is what specifically they're missing for when they break team, when they say, well, it's team discipline.
Right.
I don't know how you don't gain weight when you're smoking marijuana.
That's what
I thought you just ate a bunch of Doritos after you do it.
Well, that's what you do when you do it once. But when it takes over and you're addicted to it, you do that instead of eat food. You know what I mean? That's kind of what it gets like, guys.
I didn't know you were such an expert.
Well, if you ever watched anybody that's on a did you ever notice how heavy those guys that are rock stars? They don't weigh very much. And it's not.
Now you're painting rock stars.
Yeah, I got him. I'm saying I'm right. And I'll tell you what. Go look at some jockeys and see how much they're eating.
We're going to get in trouble here. That's what's going to happen. Hey, Eric, appreciate your insights on all things Huskers, and hey, we'll see you again soon. Thanks for the time, man.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Take care now.
From the Nebraska Associated Press, following the Huskers, Eric Olson here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking Huskers and talking TNL irrigation. The 2015 irrigation season is almost here. You're getting ready to get in the field, get that 2015 crop planted. You're going to put all that work in, and then when it comes harvest time, don't be disappointed. Make sure that your field has been properly irrigated all year long, and that's why you want the best from TNL, the hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system with superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of their hydraulic design. Have it in your field. Contact your local TNL dealer or visit TLIRR.com. That's TLIRR.com. TNL irrigation like no other. We're going to get into the frozen tundra of the Tri-City Storm. The Frozen Four is over. The NHL playoffs begin, but the Clark Cup playoffs begin tomorrow. Jim Holton, head coach of the Storm, when we return. Golf's first major of the year is here, and if the Masters has you itching to get out on the greens, then sign up now for the Kearney Country Club's three-person scramble. The inaugural tournament of the year is Saturday, May 2nd and Sunday, May 3rd. Your entry fee includes golf, cart, steak dinner, Calcutta, prizes, and a whole lot more. An optional practice round and shootout is scheduled for Friday. It's the first tournament of the year. Sign up today at 237-2553. The Kearney Country Club three-person scramble, May 2nd and 3rd.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
If you're hoppy and you know it, then you need to get your tickets to this year's Hastings Downtown Do the Brew. Taste dozens of craft beers and enjoy live music at this fundraiser for the Hastings Art Council. Do the Brew will be held April 25th at the Hastings City Auditorium. Tickets are available at the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce, Murphy's Wagon Wheel, or Wine Styles. Be hoppy and know it at the Hastings Downtown Do the Brew, April 25th. Please drink responsibly. Designated driver.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport, done right.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mart Cooler question: should former Major League Baseball player Pete Rose be eligible for the Hall of Fame? Yes. Jimmy?
No.
No?
No.
No?
That's why I said no.
You're just saying that to be different from me, which I like.
No, no, I'm saying it because it's all over in every locker room.
Holy crap.
And every single...
We're going to have a whole show on this.
We could.
Maybe at least a segment.
We could have one. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I very rarely come across anybody that's against it that isn't an 80-year-old sports writer.
Is that right?
Or the current commissioner of baseball.
Yeah,
we don't even know if the current commissioner is that way. We asked you over the weekend if college athletes should be allowed to leave school early to play in the pros. Yes was the overwhelming favorite. We invite you to vote on the Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Let's go to our Dent Popper inbox. One more here on Husker football. This comes from John. He says, the deer in the headlight look was on the field with Bush at quarterback. Everyone says he would be taking over for Tommy. You can't say how important game experience is. Out of all the quarterbacks playing, I thought Darlington went through his progression reads very well. Do you see some quarterbacks leaving after off-season meetings with coaches? Tough to see that many on the roster. Running back will be by committee, but I think that's good. That way defenses can't key in on one guy. And we touched on that, obviously, a little bit with Eric Olson. And kind of on that, we think Stanton's probably going to transfer. If anybody, you would think him. And as far as that running back by committee, again, I'm glad Eric Olson is on my side. You got to find one guy with a decent other guy that can get you eight carries, if it's not a fullback, to come in and just give you a breather. But that's what we get to do between now and then, talk a lot of football.
Well, you know, Doug, I'm glad you brought up Brockmeyer, because he had a pretty good game from Aurora. And I'll tell you what, when he was a high school quarterback, McCook and Aurora had some great games, and he just dominated McCook. He was a tremendous quarterback, and I'm glad he had a good game.
And if he hadn't been injured, I think he's I don't know. I don't want to say he was ahead of Fife then just because of a one-year age difference and maybe the backup last year. Who knows? Injuries stink. Let's avoid those. Jim Holton, Jared Shaffrin, Tri-City Storm, join us. The Clark Cup playoffs begin tomorrow. And again, I've harped on it the whole time, Jimmy. The regular season is over and the Storm are still playing, so congratulations to you and the guys.
Well, thanks. Has a nice ring to it, obviously, for our supporters that have stuck through some lean years. It's nice to be in. From this group, this is a minimum of our expectations, so we're not really overly excited about it. We've expected it all along, and it's nice that we didn't fail to meet our goal. This is just one of the goals in many, but that being said, we're pretty pumped up to be starting.
What's it like being able to coach and what I would believe was a non-pressure situation? We talked a couple of weeks ago that you had an opportunity to maybe win the Anderson, win the regular season. It didn't happen, but you're right there at the very end. You were the only team going into the weekend that had a chance to catch Youngstown. But you said, hey, it is what it is. So did you feel like you guys were coaching and playing with no pressure over the last month, 2 months?
Well, I mean, there's internal pressure because you set it to win every game, no matter who's in your lineup, who's not in your lineup, no matter who you're playing. But I think what we did is we've preached all along, and I know it's coach speak, but we talk about the process and controlling things aside from the win and the loss. And, you know, we have a five-game board that we try to break our season down into five games, and we track things like shots for, shots against, scoring chances for, scoring chances against, and hits, just to try to create a pattern. And normally when you hit certain targets, it ends up in a win. Again, that's not all the time, but more times than not. So really, the last month, we've just preached on habits. We want to have good habits. We want to be playing good hockey heading into the playoffs. And you know what? We split the weekend, but I like the way we played. For six periods of hockey, we played the right way, and I think that bodes well heading into the playoffs.
Coach, I thought another thing you did, you could come into this healthy. You could rest some players. I mean, you didn't completely just take them out completely out of the lineup, but they didn't have to play as many minutes. And you thought, hey, if we can win these and steal these games, great. But hey, let's go into this healthy. Talk a little bit about that, if that's true.
Well, I'm not a big believer in war analogies, but I think for this one, it's better to give up a couple of battles to give yourself a chance to win the war. And that's kind of the way we looked at it. We've had some nagging injuries over the last month that could guys have played through it? Yes, they could. But could those nagging injuries become something bigger and more harmful to the player and to the team? Absolutely, they could. So we were willing to risk, if that's the right word, a shot at first place or the Anderson Cup. We didn't want to completely blow our entire roster up and have nothing left. And we've all seen it at different sports where teams go for it down the stretch and put too much emphasis, in my opinion, on a regular season title, and then are either burnt out or have created bad habits that end up biting them early in the playoffs. So there's never any guarantees this time of year, but health is the one thing that if we can control it and have a healthy lineup for tomorrow night, that's my job.
Well, it does start tomorrow. This is as much hockey if it goes the distance in series and series. You're going to be playing a lot of hockey in a short amount of time, and we touched on that earlier. Is that of any concern at all at this point in the season, that if you're forced to a game five? I mean, if you're winning, then it's all thumbs up, but to be playing a lot this, I mean, you've played 60 plus games with the preseason. How do you view the way the playoffs are set up?
Well, I think the easy thing is it's the same for both teams. So it's not like some weekends, for example, where if you played 3-3, you're checking the schedule to see what your opponent was doing. Here it's pretty simple. We're both in the same boat, and playoffs at any level is a war of attrition, and injury and injury management are part of playoffs, again, in any sport, and especially in one with contact and intensity the way it is. Are we going to be healthy a week from today? Probably not. If we are, it's probably not a good thing because we'll be on a golf course. I mean, there's a price to pay for success, and the fact that we're going to play 5 and 8 or 9 games is just another one of the challenges, but it's not supposed to be easy to win.
4-2-2 against Omaha. Let's face it, for years, one of the reasons is Omaha was just better than the Storm. But they've had the Storm's number for a long, long time. You had their number a little bit this year. Talk about the matchup.
Razor-thin difference between the two clubs, second and third. I think only 2 points separated us. You look at the numbers, the goals for, the goals against, the differential is almost the same. Style-wise, we're very, very similar. Both of us are kind of based on structure and defense first. And the 4-2-2 record could easily be tilted one way or the other. All the games are extremely tight. I mean, we want to shoot it in there. They beat us in a shootout. They beat us in overtime. A lot of one-goal games, and there could be some long nights in this playoffs because I can envision them going into overtimes and multiple overtimes with the way the clubs play. But you know what? We've had dating back to even when I first got here last year, we've had some outstanding hockey games with Omaha. If you step aside from your vested interest in your team, sometimes when you watch the tape, you're thinking, boy, this is pretty high-level hockey. There's intensity. There's skill. There's a little bit of everything. So from that end, it's really exciting. So, I mean, hey, do I hope they have their best game? Absolutely not. I hope they go into a slump here for three or four nights and they can get out of it next year. But you know what? We'll have to earn it.
I agree. I always say, hey, I never wanted to play anybody with full strength. I'll let the other people play it on full strength. If we're going to advance, I want to win. In fact, I hope the referees give us a couple calls, too. So,
Absolutely.
This would be nice. I don't want the game called correctly. Let's win these things. Let's go on. But, yeah, I like your thinking. But that is true. Like you said, these two teams, these are two teams. And I hopefully they're competitive games and both teams play well and don't have to lose something and somebody has to fill bad about they mess something up, you know what I mean, some individual player. So I'm like you,
some goalie doesn't drop the puck out of his mitt and it and kicks
yeah
it
we
into
don't
his own
you, unless it's theirs
no exactly. I mean, you anticipate it and you never hope that anybody has to wear goat horns. You hope that it's just good hockey players that decide it. And you know, we're taking a bit of an educated gamble starting on the road. This is unique this year because of the compressed first round and traditionally difficulty drawing. Some of the markets have trouble drawing midweek, so a number of teams are going to start on the road, which in one sense gives up home ice advantage, but then we're coming home for two, so there's two different ways to look at it. You know, we've played well on the road. We think it alleviates a bit of the nerves. You tend to junior hockey, the home team tends to be a little jittery in the first, but this is the time of year that you can overanalyze everything to death, and I think for us, we're trying not to do that. I'm kind of taking the swan analogy. I mean, we want to be smooth in front of the players and kicking like hell to survive underneath as a staff, but we don't want to change what we've done all year with the way we prepare. We just, day in, day out, we have a process that we go through, and as coaches, we're doing a lot of that prep and overanalyzing, but we don't want the players to be that way.
We're talking with Tri-City Storm head coach Jim Holton. If you would like tickets to Storm Hockey, their home games are Thursday and Saturday at 7:05. And if it does go to a Game 5, then they would host that. And that's a week from tomorrow, the 21st. You can go to stormhockey.com, visit the Viero Event Center box office, or give them a buzz, 338-8011. We'll ask Jared here a couple of questions. How's things going in that department?
Things going well. Really got a lot of people excited for this pay-as-we-play package, which is what we've been promoting. You can effectively sign up, throw down your credit card, and say, I'm in. I want seats to every single game. You get them at season ticket holder pricing, so you get a couple dollars off there, and you'll get to sit in that same seat for the entire playoffs, a maximum of 9 games. The most would be 3 in each round. So we've had a lot of exciting response from that. People are excited for some playoff hockey.
Tell the fans about the whole USHL playoff picture, the matchups, and what I mean, they're all best 5, and how we could get to down to the very end here.
Yep, so 4 teams make the playoffs in each of the 2 conferences. Here in the West, it's Tri-City against Omaha, and the other series will be Sioux Falls against Sioux City, Sioux City being the number 1 seed. The other side is Youngstown, who won the Anderson Cup. They're hosting Muskegon in the first round, and then Dubuque and Cedar Rapids, really close to each other, they face off, and so those should be 2 really good series. On the other side, Sioux Falls and Sioux City have had some really good battles this year also. So I don't really know if the teams who are the favorites, so to speak, they're not that far ahead of the other teams. In fact, Dubuque is the underdog team against Cedar Rapids, but they played 8 times this season. Dubuque won 6 of those 8. Mm-hmm. So it really, all the series can kind of go either way.
Jared Shaffron, the voice of the Storm. You can hear the games on the Breeze, 94.5. Obviously, playoff hockey is over-the-top exciting. You don't need any special promotions when it's playoff hockey.
Not at all. I think it's pretty much speaks for itself. First time that there's going to be a game here in Cardi since 2010. So it's been a while since some fans have seen playoff hockey here in Central Nebraska.
And it is one of those things where the regular season or the playoffs is always getting tweaked in the USHL. It hasn't seemed to be too crazy, but this is as close to just true playoff like we're used to seeing in most sports as it's been in a while.
Yeah, actually, this is the third straight year that they've stuck with the same format. So they actually added two teams this year in Bloomington and Madison, but they kept the playoff format the same, which is nice. I think part of the reason it keeps changing is because you have that franchise movement that's so often where teams are getting added or teams are going dark. So it's nice that they've kept everything the same, and I think the fans are starting to understand the current format. Who knows, though, next year there could be more teams. I think a lot of the teams out there are pushing for more teams in the playoffs, so that could change at some point.
Jared Schaffer, the voice of the Storm, last minute here with the head coach, Jim Holton. Just big picture. Hopefully we get to chat numerous times while the season is still going on, ahead of the draft and ahead of summer and all those things. How do you like where your team sits among the eight that remain?
I like it. As Jared alluded to, it's unique this year. Parity is a word all throughout sports, but I think it was one of the lowest point totals for an Anderson Cup winner in recent memory, meaning that there's not one dominant team. And we talked about it a little bit here earlier. I think health is going to play a big role in these playoffs. The teams that can remain healthy or avoid the injury to the key people. Every team has them. I think the one thing that's really helped us is our depth, because we're not as reliant on a couple of those key people as some of the other teams are. Our offense have been spread out. We've had six veteran D. We've had two goaltenders that have stepped up to the plate. So it's not as though we put all our eggs in one basket. So that bodes well. And traditionally in hockey, depth is one of the key elements, key weapons in playoffs. And I like that. That being said, anytime that there's only four teams on a conference, a 1-4-4 matchup or 2-3 in this case, there are no favorites. So it's going to come down to the smallest of details.
Coach, you know, you really kind of turned this thing around. I mean, really, I've had a lot of people tell me that, hey, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Talk a little bit about your assistant coaches, too, and some of the things that they've done, what they brought to the table, because a lot of times, you know, the head coach gets some of the credit when these things are turned around, but you know as well as I do, some of your assistant coaches and the things they did and what you gave them liberty to do really worked out. And you're going, hey, I would even my idea, and that worked. You know, so, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm thrilled you asked the question, because they're the unsung heroes, and I'm a big Lou Holtz fan, and I love his line, and I've always used it. I steal it. When someone asked him about his staff, he said, well, Jesus Christ leaned on his staff until his death, and I intend to do the same. And I thought it's a great line, but it's true. We first of all, I'll start with J.B. Bittner, who's the assistant coach that I inherited, if that's the right word. But basically, it's like having two head coaches. Like, that's how much this guy does. He's kind of the lead man in terms of all of our pre-scouting. He does a wonderful job in terms of attention to detail with scouting reports. He runs a defense during the game, runs a penalty kill, and we look at it like coaching partners. Like, we try to do everything together. We made some great additions to our staff in the summer. Neil Breen is an assistant coach who had championship experience with the rival Lancers years ago. He also has a fitness background, so there's been a big change there in terms of our off-ice conditioning. And Neil is a rah-rah type of guy who's kind of inherited and done a good job with the good cop role that every staff has to have. And then the unsung amongst the unsung, if that makes any sense, is our athletic therapist, Colt Graff, a local guy out of UNK. And then Dan Bushka, equipment manager, again, a two-time champion with Omaha. And those guys, as anybody in sports knows, those guys are the key fellas for the camaraderie in the locker room. As coaches, we try to stay out of that locker room. That's a player's thing. But they've done a great job of managing egos, quelling some storms, keeping everything together before it even reaches the coach level. And our staff goes all the way down to our traveling staff, includes Jared, who does a great job, and then Bob Heller, our bus driver, who's been with the team since day one. And I consider them all a part of it, because we all play a little bit of a role in how the puzzle goes together. And it's been a great group, including staff, players, support staff, everybody this year. It's been unique, because it's not always the case in sports. We've avoided some of the cliques that usually creep in, so it's been good. And as a staff, we've managed not to take ourselves too seriously, you know. And you can get caught up sometimes in patting yourself on the back too often. One arm gets a little bit too long, but we've done a good job of keeping each other humble and honest.
Well, it's been a while since the Storm have advanced in the playoffs, so that's obviously the number one goal right here. But Coach Holton, can't let you out of here without just a couple of other hockey observations. A weird way that Providence beat Boston to win the Frozen Four on Saturday. Just your thoughts, and of course, the former Storm players that got deep in the Frozen Four.
Well, I guess first with the game, I mean, it's stunning, staggering, pick your word, whatever you want. I feel horrible for the kid, as I think anybody, no matter what side you were rooting for, probably feels terrible for the kid. But that's playoffs, and we talked about it yesterday with our club. And one of the biggest things I've learned is expect the unexpected. You never know what's going to happen come playoff time, and you have to be able to learn to roll with a lot of things. We were happy that with Providence, our captain, Garrett Gammas, is going there. So through the recruiting process, we got to know a few of their assistant coaches quite well and very, very happy for them. I like the fact that it was a little bit of an underdog. I'm a bit of an underdog fan. So other than that, you know, it was nice to see the alumni involved. Austin Pogansky played a big role with North Dakota. We've had a number. It was kind of neat for us following it because we've got Schultz is going to UNO next year. Dan Bushka, our equipment guy that we talked about, used to work at UNO. Gammas is going to Providence. Pogansky's at North Dakota. Wilkie's going to North Dakota. So there's all kinds of little side bets going around the bus in the room. So it was a lot of fun to follow it.
And the Stanley Cup playoffs are here. It looks like they're doing things different this year. Now, again, you know how much I deeply follow hockey, but who we got? I think you nailed it last year. Who won our pool last year? Yeah, Coach got the winner last year.
Not quite as easy this year. L.A. was, you knew if L.A. get in last year, but they weren't so lucky this year they didn't get in. And similar to what we were talking about our league, I mean, you look at some of these. The first round never fails to disappoint, in my opinion. I think it's the best hockey because, as we talked about, the injuries and the fatigue hasn't taken hold yet. I'm biased. I used to coach with Dave Cameron, who's been on a miracle run with the Ottawa Senators. They called up a 27-year-old journeyman goaltender who went 21-2 down the stretch, and they snuck in on the last day. But you talk about momentum. And so up north, Ottawa's going to play Montreal, which would be the equivalent geographically as Sioux Falls and Sioux City, but an hour between the two cities and the Mecca. It would be unbelievable, the atmosphere there. So obviously I'm pulling for my buddy in Ottawa and to get out of the first round, but I hate to say it with a diehard Rangers fan sitting beside me here in Schaff, but I like the Ranger team. I like their mix, and I think it's their year in the East. So I'm going to go out and let them call a Ranger Cup victory just for Jarrett.
I suppose that's your prediction too, Schaff.
Yeah, well, how am I supposed to go with anything else? This is my team. They had the best year points-wise in franchise history with, I think, 113 points. So pretty tough to pick against the Rangers, but hoping they don't get sideswiped by Crosby and the Pens in the first round.
There's your hockey fill for a Monday. The last time the Storm were in the playoffs was 2012. It was a little different format. The last playoff home game, as Jared said, was an overtime loss to Omaha back in 2010. The last playoff win, April 30th, 2007, in a Game 7 victory against Sioux City. So we're trying to get back to the Clark Cup Finals for the first time since 2004. And, Jim, best of luck. You guys have been doing great, so keep it up.
Thanks very much. Appreciate the support, as always, guys.
We're going to take a break and wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
It's spring cleaning time once again. This year, you can offer a fresh start to someone in your community and a fresh start for things you no longer need by donating things from your closets, basements, or garage to Goodwill. So dig a little, donate a lot, while you get yourself and your home off to a fresh start this spring. You'll be helping someone else live independently. Go to work and get a fresh start. Learn more online at goodwillne.org.
Doing it right makes such a difference.
Saturday at the K, the first 10,000 fans get a limited edition American League Champions replica trophy presented by Pepsi. Come before the 6-10 Royals Athletics wildcard rematch and celebrate Kansas City's 2014 playoff run, sweeping their way into the record books as the first team in history to start the postseason with 8 straight wins. Help us set some new records in 2015 by getting your tickets at Royals.com and Hy-Vee. And together, we'll make this season forever Royal.
I can't wait for summer. I have so many cool things I want to do.
I want to do something cool too this summer, but I don't know what there is to do.
You should come with me to Hilltop Mall's summer activity sign-up event. They are going to have organizations from around town with information about activities, clubs, sports, camps, and lots of other stuff. You can learn about and sign up for summer activities all right there at the mall.
Find summer activities for you and the whole family at Hilltop Mall's summer sign-up event, Saturday, April 18th, 1 to 4.
Here's some good policy from your local agent at Auto Owners Insurance. When your insurance policy comes from us, it comes with something extra, a real person. Don't buy from an insurance company with an 800 number and voicemail menu. Auto Owners Insurance operates exclusively through local independent agencies here to help you with all of your insurance needs 24/7. Now that's a good policy. Visit your local Auto Owners Insurance agent, the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Roseland, and Hastings.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. No, no, that's not for the spring game. That's not for the spring game, Jimmy. It's not exactly the last thing because I got a couple other things. Oh, you know, baby. You know you were watching. You know you checked it out. And you know the moment that I text you that Nebraska had won their fifth national bowling championship, you grinned and gave a small fist pump.
You know what's amazing is that's going to help our total point total. You know what I mean? For the NCAA, you know, we're going to catch some of these people. Yeah, the cup and winning that bowling thing again. Well, absolutely amazing the way we dominate that sport.
Postal Chuck wanted to make sure. He thought maybe we'd forget about that. Postal, come on, brother. Postal, you know better than that. Nebraska beating Stephen F. Austin 4-2. Maybe it wasn't the prettiest thing in the world, but they snuck out a couple of close games, and Nebraska is a 5-time national champion. So congratulations. Coach Straub has been going through a lot of health issues, and that team has stuck together, and it doesn't matter the sport. If you're a Husker fan, congratulations there. You know, one thing I meant to ask Eric, and we talked about so many other things, a couple other things on the spring game. They've, as a guy that gets into this, they nailed the tunnel walk. Best tunnel walk ever for Nebraska. They've had some good ones. They've had some poor ones. I've always thought they have the most resources to get everything you need, audio and video-wise, to get everything that you would want to put up there as great moments. They did a great job of mixing the past with the present, everywhere from the Johnny Rogers run to the Westerkamp Hail Mary and Ndamukong Suh to Mike Rozier, and they nailed it all. And I hope they're able to keep something like that for the regular season. Best tunnel walk ever. And the helmet cams. If you were at the game, they showed some of it live towards the end up on the big screen. That's a whole different deal. I mean, one of the cool things was Sam Fultz tackling DeMornay Personnel. Personnel had one of the helmet cams. And when you're returning kicks and you see everything going by and through you, let's face it, unless even if you played football, the odds that you were a returner, slim. So it was pretty cool view from the helmet cams that they were showing. So I hope the fans enjoyed that as well. You know, Coach Holton mentioned Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz is no longer with ESPN. That came down over the weekend that they are mutually parting ways. So no more Lou. Now, of course, you've got Reese Davis leaving the set of the college show to take over for Chris Fowler at the actual site. So I wonder what will happen to Mark May. They're going to have a kind of a restructured college game day. Not a college game day, but the nightly show and the Thursday night show. They'll have some new faces in there covering college football.
You know, Bobby Knight's leaving basketball. Lou Holtz is leaving football. You know, that's kind of a – I always kind of like Lou. What about you? Did you enjoy watching him on the thing? You know, he'd put the – I mean, he had some things he did when he put the – you know, hey, I don't know who I'm going to pick, and then he'd pull that cowboy hat out or whatever
thing,
he did.
The Go thing ahead. With Lou is he was comical. Some people always could make fun of the way he spoke with kind of the slur or whatever you want to say. But he was a lovable guy. I also know there's a lot of people that think Lou Holtz is nothing but a cheater from back in his college football days. But the generation now, the kids in college don't know that Lou Holtz. And He's your funny uncle. He's your funny grandpa. And he loved college football, just like Lee Corso loved college football. A little different than Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight's all coach. He's all coach. Lou actually embraces speaking to people, not just the media, but to people. And he's like Dick Vitale, only not quite as over the top. They are people that do nothing but positive things in their broadcasting career for the sport that they love. So I think Lou Holtz is cool in that aspect. The Kansas City Royals, 6-0. They go to Minnesota this afternoon so the Twins can get some home games. 3:10, and you can hear it on the Breeze 94.5. Jack Sock, the Lincoln tennis native, wins his first singles tournament, the U.S. Men's Clay Court Championships, beating Sam Querrey 7-6, 7-6. He's the first American to win an ATP event so far this year, so congratulations there. Florida Huskers baseball 2-1 over the weekend. Softball 2-1. UNK 1-3 in both baseball and softball. For Hastings College, softball 5-1 over the weekend. And congratulations there. That's a busy weekend. They'll play UNK tomorrow. And a new single season home run all time leader for Hastings in Morgan Fisher, who had a grand slam yesterday. And the baseball team for Hastings plays at Dort today. They split a pair with Northwestern of Iowa over the weekend. Couple of other high school notes because it's significant, and it's just great stuff what Roger Matheson told the Kearney Hub on Friday. Their track team had not lost their boys. The girls win, by the way, so congratulations. But the boys beaten at home for the first time in over 30 years. They don't win their home invitational, and they lose it by a whole 10 points. And as Coach Matheson says, you know, it's not like we got eighth. We did get second. And he says, you know, Creighton Prep's supposed to be the best. Kearney will be there when they get to Omaha. So, but, you know, that's significant. That's incredible. That is incredible, the run that they were on, Jimmy.
No kidding. 31 years. I wonder, Roger, how many times he thought, okay, this is going to come to end sometime. What am I going to say? Well, I'll tell you what, 15 years ago, he thought, well, maybe I'll say this. And 10 years ago, well, maybe I'll say this. You know, think times change, things change. Well, this is the time you got to say it because this is when it happened. But, you know, he had a lot. Can you imagine going, hey, I wonder what I'm going to say here when we lose? Because with me, it went week to week. You know, eventually, I was going to lose. And so I knew exactly what I was going to say from week to week. So, yeah. Hey, I was going to say this about the Royals, though. 6-0. Remember the last time they lost to American League team? American League team, last time the Royals, because they swept the Angels, they swept the Orioles.
And they beat the A's in the wild card.
The A's in the wild card. It's been 16. They're 16-0 against American League teams dating back. I think that's right, because I think they won their last two games against the White Sox on a Saturday and Sunday.
So it was actually the White Sox?
Yeah, the White Sox on a Saturday and Sunday when they played. Now, this is all by memory. This isn't something that I looked up. And you know that.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't have to look up a lot of stuff. You've got pretty much all the knowledge right up there in that noggin. Kearney girls soccer team, GNAC champions, beating Columbus in the final 3-0. Norfolk won the boys, beating Kearney High in a shootout. And the Grand Island boys finished as the runner-up to Lincoln Southwest in the Heartland Athletic Conference Tournament. Guess that wraps things up. Anything else? I mean, we didn't hardly touch on the Masters, but the Masters was virtually over by the time we signed off on Friday. Jordan Spieth had almost finished up his second round. I still don't overlook what Rory McIlroy did. I think Rory learned a valuable lesson over the weekend. I don't know if it was mental or if he just come in, let's ease in on Thursday and see what happens. I think Rory will now realize again, hammer down Thursday morning and hammer down for the next 72 to 96 hours, whatever it takes to get the job done out on the golf course. Jordan Spieth, great person to win the Masters. Everybody seems to like Jordan Spieth. He's going to be very likable. He's very young. We've seen that happen now in golf a lot over the last few years, is the next young guy, the next young guy. There was such a good Masters. It wasn't close, because he went out and never really let anybody get close to him. But Phil was there. To all you slappers that didn't think Tiger would make the cut, he easily made the cut, and he showed very good. So to the Tiger haters out there, I just want to say, ha-ha, ha-ha-ha-ha, ha.
Hey, anybody that made the cut, nice tournament, because I'll tell you what, and how many players, you know, like you said, they were talking about shooting 14 under England. You know, guys were, Phil Mickelson's going, Rory McIlroy. Both of them kind of said, well, hey, this guy really shot it up, and he played well, but I thought maybe that would be good enough to win it. You know, so, I mean, you look at yourself and how you play, that's all you can do. Anybody that shot under par, more power to them.
You had a guy like Charlie Hoffman. You got a guy like Ernie Els. You had a little bit of everything in this Masters. When we come back on tomorrow's show, got a few guests from the Youth Advisory Board helping out the youngsters in our area as we get towards summertime and the spring, end of spring here. They've got some items that we're going to be talking about with the Kids Week coming up. Damon Day to talk a little UNK baseball after their roughest weekend of the season, but all hope not lost, obviously. They're still 18-10 in the conference. Do want to thank Eric Olson, the Nebraska Associated Press coverage of the football, Husker football team, and to Jim Holton, head coach, and Jared Schaffran, voice of the Tri-City Storm. Don't forget their playoffs begin tomorrow in Omaha.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Home games are Thursday and Saturday. Jimmy, have a good week, man.
You bet. Take care, Doug.
See you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.